30 trade unions here are launching a campaign ahead of the budget calling for the scrapping of the 1% pay cap and better terms for low-paid workers and those on zero-hour contracts. They say that while the unemployment rate is falling, salaries for many workers are still extremely poor. Bumper Graham from the trade union NIPSA with us today. Good morning to you, Bumper.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bumper. Bumper, we haven't talked to you in a while, and the businessman at Northern Ireland Conservative, Frank Shivers. Good morning to you, Frank.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Frank.
So, Bumper, we're still trillions in debt, is no doubt what those who are looking after the books centrally are saying. And we've got to be careful about increasing the public sector pay bill.
Well, I would dispute that, Stephen, because the various chancellors of the Exchequer and the Prime Minister keep saying what a great success the UK is in terms of economic recovery, and we're the fourth or fifth richest nation in the world. Over this last number of years, we've seen a 10% cut in the rate of tax paid by big business in relation to corporation tax. So there is money there. And what we've got to remember is that public servants have either had no pay or a 1% pay increase going back to 2010, and many find themselves having to go to food banks. They're at least 8% off in real terms, worse off now than they were back 2009-10. So there is money available. We have to keep pressure on our politicians, both at Westminster and to try and get Stormont back up and running, to ensure that public service workers do have the pay cap lifted. But more importantly, the campaign is from all of the trade unions looking for better work and better lives for all of our citizens.
Frank?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is I read the letter, Stephen, and it's a very constructive argument from the unions, and it's good to see them becoming constructive and making some valid points. But the main point that I would make is that, you know, at the present moment in time, the pay gap between the public sector and the private sector, public sector still are 10% more better paid than in the private sector. On average, for a weekly wage, £506 in the public sector, £464 in the private sector. So there's still that disparity with the private sector, and I think that definitely needs to be balanced.
And if public sector pay is 30%, Bumper, more than the private sector, what does that tell you?
Well, I think there's two things in that, Stephen. First of all, it says that the strategy that we have had for Northern Ireland's economy has failed, where it's been sold around the world as a low-wage economy. And we need to reverse that and say, come to Northern Ireland, yes, but pay the workers a decent pay for the job that they do because they're highly skilled and highly qualified. But more than that, you need to break the figures down. And if you compare the salaries across the board, yes, you can come out with those averages, but when you do it specifically, you will find, for instance, that public servants are paid less than people in banking, etc. So you've got to compare on the level and not in the round.
But that's without even going into their pension, and when they actually leave, they're two-thirds better off than the average public sector or private sector.
Well, Frank, you surprised me because I thought the policy of your party was to make sure that everybody provided for themselves in retirement and everybody should have good pensions.
Absolutely.
And what you've been doing is actually ruining public service pensions because people are paying more, working longer and getting less.
And there's a disparage between the public sector and the private sector that needs to be sorted. Now, what I would say, and I would certainly put a caveat in this personally, I think 5 years now they haven't had a pay rise in the public sector. I think that the Chancellor is certainly coming under pressure within the party from various sections to give a bit to the public sector. And I would be in that camp, I think, 5 years of going back. But we still need to pump, we need to get that 10% down or actually increase the private sector. And I would disagree with you in Northern Ireland. In Northern Ireland, a lot of the jobs that are coming into Northern Ireland are actually £28,000 and above. We've got the IT industry coming in. We've got banking. We've got capita.
If you look, Frank, over the years, Invest Northern Ireland and the IDB and all their predecessors bodies have always said, come to Northern Ireland where we can you can afford to pay lower wages and you'll pay elsewhere in the UK and elsewhere in Europe. And that is the wrong way in which to structure an economic...
If the public sector was to be given a 1% pay increase, Bumper, that would cost £50 million to the block grant.
Well, there's two things, Stephen.
Where are we getting that money from?
Well, the position is that the DUP, who can bring down this budget tomorrow, are in a strong negotiating position. They've been responding at councillor, MLA and MP level to our members saying that they're opposed to the public sector pay cap. So there's things our politicians can do. But also, we do need to get the executive and the assembly back up and running.
Well, how can they be opposed?
We do.
How can they say they're opposed
to
it? How can the DUP say they're opposed to it while at the same time they've got the leverage over the government who are implementing it?
Well, we need to see what they're going to do, Stephen, because I am very suspicious of what the Chancellor will say tomorrow about the public sector pay cap. We don't want it tweaked. We want it removed, and we want public servants...
So how much do you want? How much do you think public sector workers should realistically be given? Remember, 1% equals 50
this
million.
This year, Stephen, most of the public sector unions have sought 5%. And the reason we have sought
5%... That's 250 million.
Listen, Stephen...
A quarter of a billion. Where are we getting that from?
You probably get much more than 5%, but 5% represents... inflation running at 3%, so you need 3% to stand still, and we're saying an additional 2% to help do some of the catching up that we've been lost.
But the question is, where do you think Northern Ireland's going to get a quarter of a billion pounds from?
I think our politicians need to get a better financial deal for Northern Ireland. We've been saying this
better financial deal, Bumper, are you for real? We get 11 billion pounds and we've just been promised another billion pounds. Now, Stephen, don't go into that billion pounds on this show. But that's £12 billion likely to come into Northern Ireland.
The reason we need a better financial deal is that from the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, Northern Ireland has been trying to do catch-up with the rest of the UK in terms of its infrastructure and in terms of trying to build peace out of the same
gap
of money as is paid elsewhere.
The gap,
we
Bumper,
need money for that.
You are in Bumper World again.
No, I'm not, Stephen.
The full-time public sector...
How come big business can have corporation tax reduced from 30% to just under 20% in less than 10 years, but ordinary workers are paying the price for that by having no pay increases?
I wonder what some private workers will, private sector workers will be saying this morning,
well,
and
Stephen,
no doubt we'll hear from
them.
You will
know, and you keep trying
to let me give the number
dividing,
this morning.
Dividing
I'm not dividing.
Workers and the private
I'm not
sector.
Dividing. I'm,
this is a campaign for all workers.
Well, I'm simply inviting people, whether from within the public sector or the private sector, to call us this morning, 030-30-80-55-55. Here's the reality. In Northern Ireland, Bumper, the average weekly wage for a full-time public sector employee is £577, compared to £429 in the private sector.
And you've heard me
so
say,
that's
Stephen,
a gap. Hold
why
on.
That gap is there. That's, why we need to address
yeah, but that's
that
a,
gap.
That's a gap of what? Nearly £150 a week. It is a gap of 34%.
And the reason,
and do you know what the gap is, according to the Office of National Statistics across the water for the whole for the rest of the UK? 17%.
Yes, and the
so
reason
there's
for
double
that,
the gap
is
here.
Employers here pay poor and low wages because they think they can get away with it in the private sector. Invest Northern Ireland, sell Northern Ireland as a low wage economy. So our campaign is to improve the working lives of everybody, to ensure that the public service pay cap goes, and also to improve and enhance the pay and conditions for our workers in the private sector.
Eddie's in Lisburn. Morning, Eddie.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Eddie.
Bumper, you're an outragement. It's people like you have turned the public sector into a financial ball and chain around the neck of society. All the unions have done is make those that are unfit for purpose unsackable. That then creates a lot of pressure on those who are fit for purpose. See, if those that were unfit for purpose were replaced, the pressure on the public sector would reduce greatly.
Well, I would.
And another thing,
do that
if anybody
and
doesn't
and
like their jobs,
well, we have lost.
If I don't like
jobs,
my job, I
sector.
Be told get another one. Anybody that doesn't like their pay or their conditions, don't be blackmailing society into keeping you in a lifestyle that you've become accustomed to. Because see, when you go on strike, that's all you're doing. Okay, it's people like you, the liberal left wing.
Why have you no sympathy, Eddie, for those workers who haven't seen a pay rise that even equates to inflation? That they're, you know, their buying power is decreasing.
Stephen, see your real firms and all this nonsense. It's all imaginary figures, carved up by the likes of the unions to make them look bad.
Very far from imaginary.
1% pay raise every year for the last 7 years. In my mind, that's a 7% pay raise.
Let Bumper speak to you.
And I don't care about inflation real terms.
Let me let
the
Bumper.
The price of water and sugar goes up for everybody. Not just public sector workers.
Let me let Bumper speak to you.
Well, you see, Eddie's wrong because public service workers haven't had those pay rises he talks about. And if they had, they're going to spend that money locally in the economy, in the local shops, in the local facilities, which will actually help improve the private sector, sustain jobs there, and build our economy. So by not giving public service workers a pay rise, you're actually damaging
the economy. Haven't told Eddie where you would get the $250 million, $250 million. Where would you take it from? What services would you cut in Northern Ireland to give public sector workers a 5% pay increase?
I wouldn't cut any service in Ireland. I would do two things. I would reverse the cuts in corporation tax in the UK and get the money in from big business and get rid of corporate welfare. And secondly, I would say to our politicians, your field isn't getting a decent deal from London. Go back and do better.
But Bumper, when if you look at the Republic of Ireland, reduced their corporation tax, they actually increased the collection of that tax because people were able to actually do it. We're able to contribute and give that tax.
There is still over £100 billion of tax that is not collected by HMRC in the UK.
This is Lala. In terms of cutting corporation tax.
You still haven't answered or addressed my comment. You're not talking about money. The reason the National Health Service and the public sector is in the state it's in is because of the people that work on it. They're not all fit for purpose. They all do a very important job. And most of them do it very well.
That is an unworthy slur on the...
All of them do, and the unions have made it impossible to replace those that are unfit for purpose.
Well, do you know what, Eddie?
And that's all the unions have done.
Do you know what, Eddie? There are a significant amount of people who are fit for purpose within
NHS. Oh, yes, there are, Stephen, but not all of them are.
Anyway, what do you do for a living? What are you fit for purpose at doing?
Well, I'm just about to get out of a car to go and do my private sector healthcare job.
What's that?
I'm a care worker. I'm in the car just outside of Clarence. I've just pulled up now and I'm about to go in and help this person.
And do you mind me asking, you can tell me to clear off if you want, but do you mind me asking how much you get paid? Are you well paid?
Well, I'm on minimum wage, minimum holidays, minimum sick pay, minimum everything. And I do the job despite the wages.
And so Bumper would basically say, you know, let's not race to the bottom.
You should
get a pay rise.
My firm to bring my wages up and then all of a sudden the firm goes bankrupt and nobody has a job.
Well, you see, different from what you've suggested. I would be saying that the job that Eddie's doing is valuable and critical. It is part of our health service and should be done by health service workers. We shouldn't have allowed our care for the most vulnerable in society to be privatised so that workers like... No, we would provide a job for you within the health service.
What is
that? Then
you bankrupt the whole country. Yeah?
Eddie, you say minimum wage. What is minimum wage, Eddie? I should know this. What is it? What do you get per hour? What is minimum wage?
£7.50 is minimum wage.
So if you do an 8-hour day, you're earning £60.
That's it.
How do you live on that?
Well, I do all right. I'm not going to complain about my wages or my financial situation. I don't.
Do you find you can live on that? I'm not.
Yeah.
If you're
have a wife and my wife works as well, you know, so there's two wages coming in.
If you're running a car and you have you kids?
Yep. Have two.
And on £60 a day, what, 300 a week, you can get by?
Aye.
It must be tight.
Stephen, make choices in life. See, if you choose to buy a big house and drive a fancy car and have 14 kids, you know, you have to pay for them. I chose to live in a reasonable house. I drive a reasonable car and I have 2 kids. These are my choices. These are the choices I made in life. And it's up to me to look after my kids, to pay for my car and to pay for my house. Under no circumstances would I expect the rest of society to keep me in a lifestyle I've become accustomed to. This is what's wrong with the whole country. The trade unions, the left-wing socialists, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And they think that the state can provide everything. And when things go wrong, it's always the state's fault.
I'm just sitting here.
People make choices in life and they have to live by them. If you don't want to run into burning buildings, don't be a fireman. If you don't want to work with blood and sweat, don't be a nurse.
Yeah, but I'm just interested in your situation, Eddie, insofar as if you're earning 300 quid a week, that's 15 grand a year.
Right.
You know, I know of people who are earning 40 and 50 grand a year and, you know, they think they're getting it tight.
Well, they're not getting it tight, Stephen. You know, they bought the big house, they drive the BMW, they have the 4 kids. See, if people's lives get more expensive because of the choices they made, that's their problem. That's their problem. All the good stuff in my life happens because of me. And all the bad stuff in my life happens because of me, because of the choices I make. And that's just the way it is, Stephen. That's life.
Have you a mortgage?
Well, no.
A mortgage and a car and... You've got bills the same as the rest of the people listening this morning.
I do. I pay them. You know, what's the problem? I work, my wife works, we bring in a wage and we pay our bills. What's the problem? Prices are going up, but prices go up for everybody. Prices go up for me too. The price of heating oil's gone up, the price of butter's gone up, the price of sugar's gone up. It goes up for everybody. What do these people want? A free ride?
You're thinking twice.
I have no sympathy for anybody. The only people we should be looking after in this society is the young, the old, and the infirm. See everybody else? They should look after themselves.
Pumper?
Well, I have to say, I don't understand where Eddie comes from. As I said, I think he's doing a valuable job, but he's not getting paid the right rate for that job. And in fact, that is a job for the health service to do, and the work should be brought back in the health service, and he should get a decent rate of pay for it, far above what he's getting.
Well, you don't understand. Attitude, see, by making everybody
that he has,
the public sector...
Hold on, Eddie, let him finish. Let's let Bumper finish.
For him not to care about the rest of society, I'm seriously worried if that's the attitude that is now prevailing in our society. That is the cult of the individual brought about by Thatcher, who ruined the country. And what we need to do is get back to a balanced economy whereby public service workers, private sector workers, all get a decent pay, that their pay matches inflation at least so they come no worse off, that ordinary workers, be they public or private, don't have to go to food banks in order to see themselves through the week or the month. So there's plenty of money in this country. We're the fourth, fifth richest in the world. We can afford to give big business handouts. And we say it's time to turn that around and support ordinary workers.
Here's Liam in Derry.
I resent the fact that you just said to me about the culture of the self.
Correct.
I am not a selfish person. I'm quite a caring person. I was a volunteer for 5 years. And
I come on there, Stephen?
And young people. I was a car worker. I help people for a living. And you're trying to tell me I'm selfish and I'm the only...
Let's bring in Liam in Derry. Morning, Liam. Thank you, Eddie. Morning, Liam.
No, I actually came on to say something else, but then I heard Eddie. I genuinely don't understand where he's coming from. What do you call that? Is that Stockholm Syndrome? I mean, he's actually sticking up for people who are suppressing his wages. It's incredible. You know what I mean?
And he's still on the line, so you can speak to him yourself.
No, but I actually came on to try and address something that I thought you were missing as well. Bumper's sticking up for public sector workers. Now, I actually work in the private sector. But he's right that they've had a serious decrease in their wages over the last 5 years. My wife's a nurse. I know exactly how difficult her job is. And just there's the lack of support there and the way that all the funds are being withdrawn from the NHS, and they're being made to work harder and harder and harder under serious threat.
That's because they all aren't fit for purpose. Those that aren't fit for purpose are dragging down the rest.
Well, Where do you pull a statement like that from?
Eddie, that's absolute nonsense.
I have no idea.
That's not nonsense. Listen, I know a lot of people who work in the public sector. Every single one of them, Tory, are all your colleagues fit for purpose, and I've never received the answer yes. Eddie, no harm. You haven't a clue what you're talking about. I know exactly how hard people in the NHS work.
I see it every day. My wife works in the public sector.
This is nothing personal. This is the truth.
It's nothing personal to you.
My wife works in the public sector.
So if we bring this back, Eddie, to what we're actually talking about today, which is a pay rise, are you trying to say, Eddie, that the public sector workers don't deserve any pay rise this year?
Stephen, he said earlier that they've already had a 7%
pay rise for the last 7 years.
He's saying to you 1 minute about butter, the price of butter and all these other goods going up.
Right.
But he doesn't understand that people, if your wages aren't keeping up with them raises, then you're getting effectively what is a pay cut.
I know what real terms mean. That's stupid.
Okay,
that
John.
If you know what it means, then don't be.
I just don't agree with you.
You know what I mean?
All right, John in Belfast. Enough. John. Right. Morning, John.
Hello.
Go ahead, John.
Just busy. I've been listening to Bumper and the Conservative guy. What's his name?
Frank Shivers.
Frank, yeah, I'm a public sector worker and I've worked since I've left school and I'm near 35 years working. And Bumper is correct and he's 100% correct what he's saying, not only for public sector workers but for private sector workers, that they deserve a good wage and it also reflects in years to come for their pensions. At the moment in time, I couldn't even get out in early retirement because I don't know where this guy, Frank Shivers, lives. He made a statement earlier on that public sector workers are on £500 a week. Give me the £500 a week and I'd be happy because my bottom line is about £250 a week. So he's.
What do you do, John?
I work for, I'd rather not just say at the moment, but it's one of the largest employers in Belfast.
What type of work do you do?
Public sector working. Let's just put it like that.
And you get you have 250 quid a week in your hand at the end of the week.
Yeah, well, once my tax and insurance and everything else comes out of it. So what I'm basically saying, I basically inquired how much I would get if I took early retirement. And I'd be lucky if I cleared a year's wages. Now I'm on $17,000 a year. So I'd be lucky if I cleared a year's wages and about £160 a week of a pension after working for over 35 years and putting in my national insurance into a pension and saving. So Bumper's correct. It's about time that unions got their act together, not only for the public sector and the private sector, to get them a decent pay raise and also for a decent pension that they can live on.
And have you been able to have a decent life on the money you're on, John?
No, well, like that other previous caller, my wife now works, so what it is, you basically struggle. Day to day, you struggle. I can't afford holidays, the big exotic holidays. You have to go till your local credit union or your bank to get a loan, and then you pay that off. So at the end of the day, I just can't go into the travel agents and say, here's £3,000, I want a holiday, or here's £2,000. You go and get a loan, and then you have to pay that off on top of your wages that are coming in. So you struggle day to day. You have to pay, your rent goes up, your electric goes up, your gas goes up, your price of ordinary food goes up. So you have to come, you have to budget for that. And plus, if you have a family, you're also budgeting for that as well. So at the end of the day, you're just about making do with what wages you're getting in. You can't afford to go out every day of the week or everywhere. I'm lucky if I go out once a fortnight with my wife, so I can get something to eat and have a night out.
And then Christmas is coming up here and presents and things, will it eat into that couple of hundred quid a week you've got?
Yeah. You basically have to save. You have to save as soon as Christmas is over. You have to basically start saving towards Christmas, or go to your local credit union or the bank or whatever it is, and get a loan out for Christmas and pay them off before the summer, and then try and get another one out for your holidays. That's the way you're getting by year by year.
John, I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but do you know what I'm very mindful about when you're talking to me this morning. And you say that you've got a couple of hundred quid a week at at the end of the week in your hand. That's what you get for a week's work after you've paid tax, John. I'm very mindful that, and I know this is often a tangent, but I want to say it. Yeah, the licence fee, the BBC licence fee is, what is it, £140-odd? So, you know, that's a large proportion of your week's wages, one week's wages in the year for the BBC licence fee alone.
You're caught.
And I think this organisation and people like me, especially me, because I get well paid, I think we should be very, very acutely aware of how much the licence fee costs to someone like you relative to your salary.
Yeah, well, what I'm basically getting you, Stephen, is you hear Frank Chivers coming on there from the Conservative Party, and I don't think he lives in the real world, to tell you the truth.
I have to save up for my holidays. I have to budget for my family, and I raise my two kids.
Frank, I'd love to know what pension you would get when you retire compared to mine, and I'd swap you.
Well, I'll tell you, at this present moment in time, I don't have any pension contribution because I can't afford it with the businesses that I've got. So there you go, and that's being straight to you.
Fair play for having businesses. I can't afford to have businesses.
Well, let me ask you a question. 30 years in the civil service and you're on £17,000?
Yep.
I don't understand that. How can that be?
You see, Frank, what you don't understand is anything at all about our public services, because there are many people in our public services who are paid on the minimum wage. In fact, on occasions in this last few years, when the minimum wage went up, it was actually above some of the pay points in public service areas like local government and education for clerical and admin and catering.
Let me stop you. You've already acknowledged that your 10%, minimum of 10% increase.
The fact of the matter is, given
a 30% in Northern Ireland,
you want to address
the difference between public
what
sector.
You see as public service pay, and you cherry pick. What you don't look at is the total impact on public service pay, where the vast majority of public service workers are low paid.